This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne in Los Angeles.
And I'm Steve Inskeep in Washington. This week, voter registration sites are opening in villages across Afghanistan. It's the latest move toward national elections in that country, where U.S. forces are still hunting for Taliban and al-Qaeda leaders. The voting is scheduled for September, and those elections will be a test for the leader the U.S. installed more than 2 years ago, President Hamid Karzai.
Karzai often has been called the mayor of Kabul because his government controls little beyond the capital. Now he's emerged from his heavily guarded presidential palace to begin a series of campaign-style public appearances, among them a trip to his home province of Kandahar to make a speech urging everyone to vote. I recently traveled to Afghanistan and sat down with President Karzai in his office at the presidential palace. Hamid Karzai's trademark caracol hat lay on his desk. Behind him, an antique bookshelf held bound volumes of the writings of George Washington. He spoke of his view of what democracy means to Afghanistan, beginning with the changes he's seen in the last 2 years.
Yesterday, I took a helicopter. It was the first time I took a helicopter over the city in daylight. And I saw lots of buildings coming up, lots of glass buildings coming up. I see businesses. I also saw yesterday an Afghan manufactured car, and it looked very nice. It was a truck sort of thing, utilities truck sort of thing. And in 2 years' time to have so much change is a happy thing to see. I see nearly 5 million children going to school. I see that travel is easier between parts of Afghanistan. The constitution, the political process. So it's a different ball game.
You're not a great champion, I understand, of political parties because of the history of Afghanistan. For an American audience, could you explain that?
Well, the reason that I don't want to have a political party, people expect the Afghan president to be above politics of that kind. People expect the Afghan president to be impartial. The political party culture in Afghanistan, because of the Communist Party, because of them bringing the Soviets to Afghanistan, the Soviet invasion, and on the other side, there were other political parties that also had extremist ideas as well. Political parties in Afghanistan were military organizations. And the people now, the moment you mention a political party to them, they think it means a military organization that would continue to harass you, to loot your house, and to oppress you. It is not like that anymore. Political parties will have a future in Afghanistan. Political parties must be understood now in a different light. The people that I see every day, they want to be empowered, the Afghan people. The power to vote, the power to choose, the power to have a better life. And I keep telling them that getting a registration card for voting is the power.
You use the words impartial and above politics as a description of what a president should be. That sounds, in a way, like a king, a sort of overarching, stable, above politics person.
I think Afghanistan needs a president or presidents for many years that would not be associated with partisan politics. I think presidents in Afghanistan should be seen as leading the whole country and having no favorites. I don't see Afghanistan's governments in the coming 2-3 terms in political terms. I see governments of reconstruction. I see economic governments. A government that will only be there to work, to reconstruct this country, to raise the standard of life, to raise the Afghan income per capita from the miserable $200 now to $700 or beyond. That is what the Afghan government should concentrate on. Less politics, more real work. I don't think politics is real work. I think real work is in Afghanistan constructing a road, building a hospital. How can I be political if I still go and beg the world for money? And then I say, well, I'm such a great politician. No, I hate that.
A couple of the big problems facing Afghanistan, continuing problems. Let's start with security. At a recent gathering of elders that was held to have them disarm, one gentleman from a province south down towards Kandahar, he stood up and he told you that the people were too afraid to register to vote, that the Taliban would drive through town in motorcycles and threaten people, say they'd kill them if they voted, that there were no troops, there were no police, and they had only themselves to protect themselves. How bad is this problem?
We have the situation, unfortunately. We are working on it. The Taliban are there in some parts of the country, coming from across the border and conducting activities. But they're not as they were a year ago. They're not as they were 2 years ago. The number has really gone down. We have now reports they're trying to recollect again. We know where they're trying to get together. I can't talk more about that for obvious reasons of operation. But generally, on the whole, the Taliban thing is going away from Afghanistan. There are other things that we have now to address alongside this issue, of course. We cannot lower our guard against terrorism or those who, from the Taliban movement, still continue to work with terrorism and Al-Qaeda. We have also to provide security to the Afghan people generally. We have also to collect arms in this country. We also have to disband private militia forces in this country. So the disarmament part is an extremely important part of this whole process of stability and peace in Afghanistan.
Warlords have been a big issue here. Ex-Mujahideen, who now have armed militia and are in control of areas of the country. We had a gentleman say to us that he had registered, he wanted to vote, but who's going to run against the warlord's candidate? What exactly are you doing against
that? That is a very important thing. The reason disarmament, demobilization, and reintegration is important is we must give the Afghan people two things. One, a daily security from these militia forces that can go and harass them, take their property, harass their daughter, harass their children, or do other bad things to people. The second reason is that unless we disarm the militias, people will not be able to vote freely. That is extremely important. Without that, our election will be a farce. It will not mean anything.
Mr. President, people say that your own Minister of Defense, Mohammed Qasim Fahim, has a militia believed to be the largest in the country. He has neither fully disarmed nor demobilized. How can the central government expect other powerful warlords to disband their militias if your own Minister of Defense hasn't done so?
The disarmament process is going to be universal. It is universal. It will apply to whatever militia force, to whatever force that there is. There is no alternative to that.
You're known as an expert deal maker. Some said you'd do an American Speaker of the House proud because you're able to horse trade positions and projects to bring political support to the central government. Is this what is needed, or is it time at this point, as elections loom, to stop the deal making and start the cracking down and the?
What do we want for Afghanistan? What are the Afghan people sick and tired of? The Afghan people are sick and tired of fighting and conflicts. My job is to keep peace and move forward. Keep peace and move forward. Keep peace and move forward. Where I need to accommodate people for the sake of peace, I will. Where I need to shun people away for the sake of peace, I will. So in the end of the day, it's peace for me that matters more. It's the process that builds Afghanistan towards a more prosperous, lawful nation. And it is that objective that I should keep in mind, whether I accommodate or whether I remove.
Afghanistan's Hamid Karzai. We spoke at his presidential palace in Kabul. Tomorrow, I begin a month-long series on Afghanistan's first ever national elections with a look at efforts to get women to sign up to vote.